a series on the fruit of the Spirit, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? How does it work? How does it apply to our lives? And the foundational verse, I'm going to give that to you again because I think you always got to start at the bottom, build your way up. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Again, I want to point out, not something I do, not something you do. This is something that the Holy Spirit does in us. And this is what He produces in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, the fruit of the Spirit are the things that should be grown and displayed in the lives of every person who says they are a follower of Christ. Listen, if you were a follower of Christ and you're a jerk, you know, let's just be honest, though. You ever met someone, found out they were a Christian, and were a little shocked? I mean, I've told people, listen, have you been baptized? Yeah, you need redipped, because I don't think the first one took. You need to be held under a little bit longer, and you need to marinate a little bit more, because something didn't happen. Something's broken, and the truth is that we have to understand that if I'm going to say I'm a follower of Christ, that these are the things that should be at work in us, displayed in us, for the world to see. Love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, they are not something that we obtain by working harder. I've said this every week, and I'm going to keep saying it till you get it. It is not something you get. I'm going to love them if it kills me. Well, it might. I'm going to have joy if I fake it. Well, then what good is it? It's not about working hard. It's not about trying hard. It's striving hard. It is about you and I saying, Holy Spirit, I need more of you in me. And when the more of the Holy Spirit comes in, it's going to push out my flesh. That scripture says we're to crucify our flesh daily, it says. You know why? Because it comes back. You ever had a good moment with God? You were just, man, a situation came up. I responded, and you were almost impressed with yourself. Like, it surprised me how I responded to this. I thought I was going to lose my mind, but you know what, man? I respond. I'm so good. Woo! And then 2 days later, you have a meltdown over the dumbest of things. That's why you got to crucify the flesh daily, because it comes back. Daily, I crucify the flesh. And daily, I say, God, I want more of you and less of me. And as the Holy Spirit comes and begins to work, and how does He work? He works when I begin to sense His stirrings, and I learn the heart of God, and I say, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to step out in obedience. I'm going to begin to do the things that God calls me to do. I'm going to be obedient to the stirrings of the Spirit inside of my heart. And as I do those things, it pushes the flesh out, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we receive them and we are open to the work of the Holy Spirit and we obey the Holy Spirit, we begin to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the thing. If the Holy Spirit's fruit is not being developed in us, it may be because He is handcuffed. Because of our attitudes or our actions or poor theology, or unwillingness at the men's thing yesterday. Rick, our men's director, man, he challenged the men about sharing their faith. We were having a discussion about, you know, evangelism and telling people about Jesus. And you know, we were doing all the church things. That's exactly what we were doing, the church things. We were like, you know, God's given everyone a different personality, and so everyone has different ideas. And there is an element of truth to this, that if you're an introvert versus an extrovert, evangelism may look different to you. But here's the thing, and I thought Rick hit it on the head. He said the thing is this. He goes, all of us, if you are saved, have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of boldness. And so each and every single one of us can be bold when it comes to the things of God. And the only reason that we don't is because we choose not to. Now, I don't know about you, but that slapped me in the face where I was sitting. We choose not to. I'm telling you guys, we can handcuff the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And when we handcuff the Holy Spirit, it is not going to produce fruit like love and joy and peace and patience that is godly and God-given. It's going to be man's idea of love and man's idea of joy and man's idea of peace and man's idea of patience and man's idea of the fruit of the Spirit, which is only going to disappoint, break down, grow old, and leave you wanting. Listen, this is good preaching. I'm just saying, this is straight word. This is not anything of mine. This is straight word of God. And you got to get it and you got to receive it, because we got to let the Holy Spirit, we got to break the Holy Spirit out. We got to get him out of the cuffs. We got to get him out of the shackles in our lives, because, well, I just don't know. I'm afraid of being rejected and I don't want to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit said, let me go. Let me go. Don't hold me. Listen, spiritual fruit only grows in obedience. Spiritual fruit only grows in obedience. I cannot live a life that is disciplined or that is disobedient to the word of God, the things of God, and expect spiritual fruit to grow in my life the way God desires it to grow. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us, God. Father, take this word and let it be, God, I pray, hallelujah, like an arrow to the heart of the matter. Father, let this word, Lord Jesus, be the tip of the spear that breaks the fallow ground in us. So that seed gets good soil, God. So that it takes root in us. Our lives get changed. That we, Lord God, while we love you, we know there's more of you. And we want more. Holy Spirit, we release you to move and to flow. We release you to make us uncomfortable. We release you to do things that we cannot explain. Be fully God here. In your name, amen. So here's the thing. We took some time last week and we looked at patience. And one of the definitions that we used for patience was, patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. It's easy to be patient when things are going your way. It's easy to be patient when things are working according to your time schedule. So when things are happening the way you like them to happen, oh, I'm just patient, I'm just waiting on Jesus, you know. And it's easy to be that, but it's different when nothing seems to be going your way. Anybody ever have one of those weeks? You know, it's just like whatever can't go wrong will go wrong. Simple things become complicated things. And we've all had those moments and all had those times. Am I patient the way God calls me to be patient in those moments? And the thing is this, we tend to think of patience in a passive way, but Hebrews paints a completely different picture for us in Hebrews 12:1, when he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. That's what we've been talking about a little bit. Get the stuff out, unleash the Holy Spirit, and the sin that so easily entangles us, it entangles us in that it binds us up, because it binds God's work up in us. And there are some things that are only going to be done through prayer and fasting. And some things are only going to be done in Christ, through Christ. Your dreams, you can't reach yourself. And if you can, you're dreaming the wrong dream. He says, and let us run with perseverance. Now, different translations is perseverance, endurance, patience. Let us run the race marked out for us. Patience is an active thing. It's knowing God's power and trusting in his goodness. But we realize that can be challenging for a couple of reasons. One, because it goes against our nature. We are not patient for anything. We're not. We stand in front of the microwave and wait for the popcorn to pop, try to figure out what is taking so long. So this, like, we go through drive-thrus from one window to the next window. You can pick up an entire meal for your family, and we're thinking 4 minutes of my life has just been waiting. We even when we do nothing, we do it as fast and as efficient as we can. I mean, we are not patient. It just goes against our nature. Another thing is that struggles of life can try to choke out the work of patience in our life. So we say, Lord, I want to be patient, but then things come that pressure us. Things come and we start worrying, and then we start getting stressed, and then we start having issues and struggles, and our mind starts playing game. Then we stop waiting on God and trying to do it ourselves, and the cares of life just kind of come up and choke out what God is trying to do in our lives in and through patience. Another thing is this, it's contrary to the culture that we live in. Our culture is not a patient culture. It says tolerance, but it's not tolerant. And so it works against us. And we learn that we need patience when dealing with people, whether you have to wait in line or sit in traffic. And we learn that we need patience and we have to wait on God. Everybody ever had to wait on God? Patience with God involves faith, and to exercise faith is to surrender control of one's life and say, God, your time, not my time. And I will tell you this, man, the reason we hate patience is because patience kills our flesh. Patience kills our flesh. And I think we live in our flesh a lot more than we realize. That was last week. That was patient. We're building off of that onto this. This morning, I want to take some time when I want to talk to you about kindness. Look at your neighbor and say, kindness. It's a nice word. We like that word. Ephesians tells us this: be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. As I was writing this, I don't know why, but it's what was in my head, is I can remember being a very young boy. I grew up in a little town, Cumberland, Virginia. It's about 45 minutes, 50 minutes south of Richmond. It's kind of between Richmond and Farmville and Lynchburg. It's this little podunk town. I think we had one light in the whole town. If you wanted groceries, you had two choices. Brown's was more, you could buy hammers or bread. And then we had like a real grocery store. I don't think it had a name. I just think everyone knew that's the grocery store. Okay, so little tiny place. And I remember it was a big, big, big deal when we got a little video store. And it was like not even, if I say if you cut like this part of the stage here to there, that was our video store. It was just this little tiny thing, maybe had 30 movies. And I mean, I can remember going into it and thinking, and you could go into the store and you could rent a VHS player. Now, for those of you that are young, Google it, all right? And you could rent a VHS player. And if you didn't have VCRs, because this was when they first came out, VCRs were incredibly expensive, you could rent a VCR. And so for like, it was like $15 for the VCR and it was like $5 for the VHS. So for $20, you could go home and watch a movie in your house. And this was just big time. This was big time for us. But I remember in the video store, and then Blockbuster had these all through the things, you would go home, you'd put your movie in, you'd hit play, and you're like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And all of a sudden, you would hear it. And you're thinking, ah! Because what didn't they do? They didn't rewind. What in the world? How hard is it to rewind the movie? And so you started seeing in stores everywhere this little sticker that went up that said what? Be kind and rewind. That's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about be kind and rewind. Listen, we, even in the simplest of things, need to be kind. Now, when you stop and you look at 1 Corinthians 13 and you look at verse 4, and we know this as the love chapter, it says this: love is patient. And the very next thing it says, love is what? Kind. Giving the impression that love and kindness belong together like peanut butter and jelly. Love and kindness belong together like what? Like chips and salsa. Love and kindness belong together like, somebody help me, with what? Like what? Like Iodelian and Sama. Here we go. They belong together. They just belong together. And he says this: it belongs together to the extent that without kindness, there is no act truly done in love. Some of the translations use different words for kindness out of Galatians 5. I've seen kindness used, I've seen gentleness used, I've seen goodness used, and I want to break down some of the differences. Kindness is this: kindness refers to how we treat people and the acts that we do to make others' lives easier or better. All right, goodness is related to righteousness and refers to more of our character and doing what is right. Gentleness is related to meekness and describes our conduct as submissive to the will of God versus our own. It's not passive, but it's not headstrong either. So the word kindness in the Greek comes from this. It's krestos, which means to make oneself useful to another, to make things easier or smoother. So here's the thing. It's not just an act. It's not just doing something, but it includes the spirit in which something is done. You ever done the right thing with a bad attitude? It's making someone's life better, easier. It's making a burden lighter. In the Hebrews, the word is hasid, which means loving kindness or loyal love. And it's difficult to translate. Hasid is because no single word in the English captures it fully. Translators use words like kindness, loving kindness, mercy, loyalty. One of the best ones they said that they can find is one called loyal love. Is close. It is one of the richest, most powerful words in the Old Testament because it reflects the loyal love that people committed to God should have for each other. It's not a mood. It's not a feeling. You with me? It is something that people do. I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. I will speak for myself, and maybe this rings a bell with you. But growing up, I on occasion may have been sarcastic. And I may have on occasion heard things from my parents like this. It is not what you say, it is how you said it that got you in trouble. See, you get out of the car upset and you slam the door. Now, here's the thing. As a parent, we're driving home the other day and Ashton, it was Wednesday night, coming home from church. I said, hey, did you guys eat before church? No, Dad, we're hungry. All right, what do y'all want? Chase said, man, I'd love Popeyes. And Ashton in the back says, I could do that. I said, fine, we're going to Popeyes. So I start driving to Popeyes. As we get to Popeyes, as I'm pulling, I hear Ashton say, I want McDonald's. And I said, well, bud, we're at Popeyes. He said, but I changed my mind. And I said, it doesn't work like that. And he says, but Dad, at first I said I wanted Popeyes, but now I want McDonald's. I said, you see where we are? He said, mm-hmm. I said, are you eating? So he ate, but he gets home, he gets out of the car, and I said, whoa. Because first of all, I don't raise boys. I raise men. And I said, come here. And I said, what did the door do to you? Well, I'm mad. Well, here's the thing. As a dad, I want my kids to get out of the car and close the door. That's good. But it was the attitude in which he did it with that made it wrong. And so we opened the door and closed it properly because that's how we learn to do things. See, here's the thing. We know that sometimes doing an act of kindness is difficult in itself, but doing it with a concerned, warm, loving, generous spirit, we might call it the right attitude, can be incredibly challenging. And so one of the things that we need to remember is this, is what God did for us. In situations that we know I'm to be kind, but I don't want to be kind. I don't want to wash the dishes. I don't want to fold the laundry. I don't want to mow the grass. I pray for a drought. I don't want to, but the right thing to do is to do this. But I have to do the right thing with the right spirit. All right, Titus 3, 4, and 5. But when kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. I love that. But when the kindness and love. This is the definite that he's defining Jesus as love and kindness. Our Savior appeared. He saved us, not because of righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. And this is what he requires of us if we are to be like him. It's easy to say. It's hard to do. And the thing is this, God realizes that. So to make this possible for us, what he does is he says, listen, Jesus is going to come back, but I'm going to send you one. And he sent us the Holy Spirit. He sent us the power of the Holy Spirit that as we listen to him, as we respond in obedience to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that this genuinely begins to develop within us kindness. But not man's kindness, the kindness of God. And the thing is this, you can do it if you choose to. I want to say that again. You can do it if you choose to. Because we have to respond to God. So what does the Bible say about kindness? One is this. We know that kindness is the character of God. It's not just what he does, but it is who he is. And because it is who he is, God is kind. He is love. He is patient. He is kind. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 says this, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. When I have Christ in me, when I have his Holy Spirit at work in me, when I read his word and his word tells us that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. When I spend time in the word, I'm spending time with God. I am going to grow, and I'm not going to grow in just being nice when I'm in the mood. I'm not going to grow in just being nice when I feel like being nice, but I'm going to grow in the kindness of God. Number two, kindness is a command to every believer that if God shows kindness and we are to be like God, then this is something that should be expressed in and through our lives, especially since we've been given the Holy Spirit to help us do this thing. I love that, to be kind to one another. Colossians 3, 12 and 13 says this, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, and so you must forgive others. God calls us into what he has already done for us. And we got to get that here, and we got to get that here. God gives us grace, and we should give others grace. God forgave us, and we need to forgive others. We said, but God, they don't deserve it. God says, neither did you. So be kind and rewind. See, kindness battles bitterness. Bitterness comes from a heart that's not right with God. That's Acts chapter 8. You can read it. When I hold a grudge, when I carry unforgiveness, when I carry envy or jealousy, when I carry anything within myself that is not of God, I'm telling you that creates a heart that is not right. Kindness battles those things. We're called in Ephesians chapter 4 to put away all bitterness because it hinders the renewing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's an amazing thing. Our flesh, we crucify daily because it grows back. It keeps trying to come back. And sometimes we have those moments where there's a situation or something arises and we show kindness or we show love and we do it with the right attitude and we go, whew, I got it. We feel good about it. We feel excited about it. And then we walk away and 2 days later, you know, someone cuts you off in traffic. And for the men there with the things last night, you blow them again. And, you know, you just have these moments where you do so good and you have a moment where you just stumble and you fall on your face in the most simplest of things. God says, listen, you have got to be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You've got to be renewed in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. If there is no bitterness in a heart that is inhabited, or there won't be any bitterness in a heart, that is inhabited by the Holy Spirit, because bitterness is not God's nature. And if I am saying, Holy Spirit, I want you to lead me and I want you to guide me. Holy Spirit, I want you to challenge me. And if I begin to get in the wrong attitude, I give you permission to convict me. Grab my spirit so that I can stay in God's. And I'm telling you, when you're there, you're not going to be bitter. When you're there, you're not going to be jealous. When you're there, you're not going to have envy. You're not going to have malice. You're not going to want to gossip. You're not going to want to do all those stupid little fleshly things because you're in the presence. You're in the presence. And God is at work in you, renewing your Holy Spirit, because our spirit man gets pulled down and the Holy Spirit renews it back up. As I'm reading through this, anybody ever watch any of the Wolverine movies? I never had comics. I've always loved Wolverine. But one of the things I love about it is the guy just, you shoot him and he kind of, and you see the bullet just fall out and his skin heals and he's ready to roll. That's what God's talking about. That's what God's talking about. That's it. Life comes along and pop, hits you, knocks you down. And it's not that you don't feel it. You feel it. It's not that you don't have experience. You're experiencing. We walk through pain. We walk through struggle. We walk through things. But man, God says, get on your feet. And you get on your feet. And you think you're going to walk with a limp for the rest of your life. But the Holy Spirit begins to renew us. The Holy Spirit starts to begin saying, let go of that attitude. Let go of vengeance. Let go of that anger you've been carrying. And all of a sudden, I'm not walking with a limp anymore because God has renewed me. I'm like a little Christian Wolverine. Listen, it's true. Listen, He gives us the Spirit that can do it. But we have to make the choice to put things away. Put away bitterness and put away unforgiveness and put away malice and put away gossip and put away lying and put away envy and put those things out of your spirit. God, even when you start feeling, God, I don't want to feel this. I don't want this. Holy Spirit, surgeon, show up. God comes in and His anointing starts cutting. And He says, man, I'm taking that unforgiveness out. It held you back way too long. And I'm removing that, and I'm going to renew that in you. And all of a sudden, you're able to forgive not only that person, but you're able to forgive others. And in doing so, you find something new and fresh in God, a new level with God. Because when you've done it for others, God is able to then do it in you. He says in Luke 6:27, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And I know this is tough because we know we're called to be kind to people with the right attitude. But to love your enemies. That's just not fair. Am I to be kind to them when they've caused me pain? Am I to be kind to them when they brought me hurt? I mean, how do you do that? And Jesus makes it sound so simple, and it's such a beautifully written scripture, but yet it feels so impossible because there are times you don't want to be kind. There's times you want them to get what they got coming. When someone cuts you off in traffic, and a couple of miles down the road, you see an officer has pulled them over. You just have your little worship service. Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! I honked one time. I don't know what got into it. I'm like, meep, meep, hey! Because you want them to feel bad. You want them to hurt like they hurt you. You want them to struggle like you had to struggle. I mean, that's the truth, isn't it? Yes. You know, Jesus never said being a Christian was easy. In fact, I'm pretty sure He said the opposite. And in that moment, it is, our heart knows the right thing to do, but we sometimes feel so powerless to pull it off because our emotions and our flesh are so strong. And I wonder sometimes if that's exactly what God wants us to experience in that moment. Because we can't do it. Maybe here or there. but not all the time and not in every case. And so we must let him do it through us. And that is why he's given us the Holy Spirit. And that is why he has said the Holy Spirit will renew you, continually renew you. You abide in him, you stay in him, and the Holy Spirit is going to stay at work in you. And these are the fruits produced by the Holy Spirit: love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. You see, God wants to do the impossible thing through us, because if we can do it ourselves, who gets the glory? And I think we today, we in our lives, we in our marriages, we in our finances, we in the raising of our children, we need to risk and attempt the impossible so that God is seen. And I'm telling you, God will honor this. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, David, beautiful portion of scripture, David has become king. And David asks, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, David and Jonathan, Saul was the king, Jonathan was his son, and David and Jonathan just had this incredible friendship. They were closer than brothers. They just loved one another. You read the story, it's just beautiful. It's just a beautiful story. They were besties, all right? The problem is Saul was jealous of David, and Saul tried to kill David many times. Saul, because of his anger and issues and a heart that was not right with God, David had to live in caves. David had to live on the generosity of others. David had a long, long section of his life that was very, very hard and very, very rough. But Jonathan knew that God had anointed David to be king. And Jonathan asked David, will you make me a vow to show kindness to my family? And so now Saul and Jonathan have gone to battle. They've been killed. The people have lifted David up and said, we want you to be king. And this is his heart. This is why God loved him and says he was a man after my own heart. Because he said, is there anyone left that I can keep my vow to Jonathan and show kindness to? So he steps into the role as king. Now, 2 Samuel 9, 2 and 3. Now, there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba, and they summoned him to appear before David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? At your service, he replied. And the king said, listen, look at the difference. Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? There's a difference between man's kindness and God's kindness. And so they said, there is Mephibosheth. They whacked out names, all right? Son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David. They brought him in. He bowed and paid him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him. I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? That statement comes from a tradition that in that day, when one king would fall and another king would come, the new king would eliminate every threat to the throne. And so according to the tradition, Mephibosheth should have been hunted down and slaughtered. Because anyone who might have right to the throne was removed. What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, I've given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him, bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, your grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then he said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of him. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was lame in both feet. Several times, Saul tried to kill David several times that David escaped with his life. Several times David could have killed Saul, but he said, I will not touch the anointed of the Lord. I'm not going to do it. Several times he ran, he hid. He had to live on the generosity of others. David could have held a grudge. David could have sought retaliation. David could have hid behind the tradition and the kind of the law of the day of, listen, when a king becomes king, guys, you know what needs to happen. Go get it done. But he said, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to show the kindness of God. Be kind and rewind. You see, what we tend to do is this. We tend to rewind back to the moment of offense. We rewind back to the moment that they said what they said or they did what they did and it caused us hurt and it caused us pain. And what it does is it just makes us feel like the victim again. And listen to me. When you feel like a victim, you will always feel justified in whatever you say or you do. God says, be kind and rewind. Don't rewind back to their offense. Rewind back to yours. Rewind back to the place that you've got to remember that God forgave you. That God showed you kindness. Every time I speak, I try to have, and we kind of joke about it, talk about it in the office, I said a sermon in a sentence. I think every message you hear, that if you get one sentence, you got the whole thing. And that sentence is this. I have not shown the kindness that I owe until I have shown them the kindness of God. I have not shown the kindness I owe until I have shown them the kindness of God. You see, it's wrong of me to not forgive someone because God has forgiven me greatly. It's wrong of me to carry a grudge against someone because I've wronged people. It's wrong of me to not pull over and help somebody with a tire. It's wrong of me to not open a door for someone who's coming to the door. Because why? Because someone has been kind and loving to me. And who am I? Who am I ever to say no? And so I'm telling you, in every situation you face, be it small, be it large, be it whatever, show people the kindness of God. And God will honor that. He will honor that. Man's kindness says, I'm going to show you kindness, but you owe me. David didn't tell Mephibosheth, you know what? I'm going to spare your life because I'm a nice guy. But all of Saul's land and all the harvest and all the everything, I get 80% of it. Man says, I'll show you kindness, but you owe me. And if you've ever been helped or blessed or encouraged and felt like someone held something over you, that's man's kindness. God's kindness is very different. Colossians 3, 12 and 13, therefore as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, I love this, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. And you got to get this. Bear with each other. Because, guys, we're not always the easiest to get along with. Not you, but the person you're sitting beside. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. The very fact that we're challenged to clothe ourselves in this tells us this, none of us have arrived. He's saying every day, I don't care who you are, where you are, how long you've walked with God, when tomorrow morning when you get up, you got to put this on. Because if you don't put it on, you're not going to carry it out. Clothe yourself in this. We all stumble. We all fall down. We all say things we wish we hadn't or regret not saying the things that we wish we had said. But on this journey, we've got to forgive. We've got to be kind one to another because if we're not careful, the world can harden us and we can slip into a way of living and thinking that we just focus on ourselves. And I'm telling you, selfishness is what corrupts kindness. So kindness can be developed. I'm wrapping up. can be developed in our lives because God has given us and God has given you the Holy Spirit. And if you will listen to His stirrings, and if you will respond in obedience, I'm telling you, not only can you have kindness and love and joy and peace and patience, but you can have the kindness of God in your life, that when it is shown, because we stayed in the presence, and the Holy Spirit is renewing and renewing daily, your act of kindness brings freedom to somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Can I get you to bow your heads this morning? Listen, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you through this message? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Listen, spiritual fruit only grows in obedience. It only grows in obedience. And so I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you in life. Be kind. It takes just as long to be kind as it does to be rude. It takes just as long to be forgiving as it does to hold a grudge. Be kind. And then break it down and make this applicable to your life. Who are the people or what are the situations in your life to which you have no patience with? What are the things that your emotions and your flesh don't want to be kind? I want to give them a piece of my mind is what I want to do. I sat there, Pastor, with my blinker on, and they pulled in from the other side. I want to walk out and see them having to change a tire. Listen, what are the things, what are the areas, what are the situations in your life that you need to say, you know what, God, I can't be kind on my own here. I can't be kind in my own wisdom, in my own ability. I need the Holy Spirit to do something inside of me so that I can show the kindness of God to this, because I don't want to do the right thing with the wrong attitude, and God never does. So I need you. And I need to crucify my flesh so that the Spirit lives stronger in me. And I'm telling you, listen, a kind act is never in vain. It's just never in vain. So I don't know this morning, maybe something has made you feel like a victim. Maybe you've experienced something in your life and it was hard and it was trying, and I am by no means, and please know my heart, I am by no means making anything insignificant that you have experienced. I'm telling you, there are folks in this room, you have faced hard things. There were things that were said about you, to you, done to you, that were not fair and were not right. And you know what? People say time heals. Listen, there are some things in life, I don't care, 20 years from now you think about it, you will still feel a certain way because it's still wrong. But living a victim holds you back. It hurts you. And I'm not saying we've got to say it doesn't matter. It does matter. What was done to you is not okay, but I am saying that God calls you beyond that. So who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to release? Who do you need to be greater than and show kindness to? Have you shown the kindness of God? And if we can't today resoundingly say yes, then friends, we need the Holy Spirit at work in us. So I'm going to say a prayer and I'm going to close. And I'm going to invite those of you who say, you know what, Pastor, I need the Holy Spirit to help me be. It's kind of an awkward altar call. And I realize that, and it's a little unique. But if you're here and if you're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to help you be kind and to be able to show kindness, if you're here and you're willing to be able to say, Holy Spirit, I want to stay in your presence because I don't want to have bitterness or anger or malice or gossip or lying or envy or jealousy. I don't want to have those things pull me outside because kindness is not our human nature. But I want to stay in the flow of God because I want to produce in my life love and joy and peace and patience and kindness like God. God will honor that prayer, I believe.
Thank you for listening to this week's First Assembly podcast. If you've ever been impacted by a First Assembly service, we would love to hear about it. To share what God is doing in your life, be sure to email us at amen@firstassembly.org. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.